Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, the Mercy Sisters, social justice, or the Catholic Church. Today, my visitor is Steve Lincoln. Steve, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Steve calls himself a new Kiwi. He was born in South Africa and is from training a mechanical engineer. In South Africa, he started to get involved in justice and peace matters. And since 2013, he is member of the Justice and Peace Commission in the Catholic Diocese of Auckland. Here, he currently holds the position of convener for the Environmental and Sustainability Committee. Steve, you were involved in justice and peace in South Africa. Can you tell us more about this involvement?
Yes, Beate. It was in the 90s, and we were trying to rebuild our country, you know, after apartheid. So we were trying to help reconciliation, and our parish there had a justice and peace group, and we would meet, and then we would meet with other congregations in the wider Johannesburg, and we'd, you know, meet, you know, black and white, whatever. That was a time when, you know, before that, that was difficult. But it was just to share our faith, learn from our faith, learn from each other. And, you know, projects that we did, one of the projects was voter education for the first election. That was a big project that we tackled at the time. And then also in the 90s, Gun Free South Africa was a campaign that we ran to, because there was a lot of seemingly unnecessary violence and death. Yeah, so, you know, gun-free, it was just to, you know, promote that message. And, you know, justice and peace. I heard Benjamin Netanyahu when at Simon Peres's funeral. He was talking about what is important, peace or security, you know, which comes first. But for me, you know, the thing that was missing was the justice. You have to have justice and then everything else will fall into place.
There's no justice without peace, and there's no peace without justice.
Yes, you have to have the two, sure.
Yeah. Yes. And is there a green movement or commitment among the people in South Africa? Because you're now in the Environmental Committee.
Yes. You know, politics in South Africa has always been a big issue, before and after. And so it is today. So that tends to drown out the debate. But there are positives happening in South Africa. You know, like I just say, vehicle emissions, they talk about with new cars, you will see what the carbon emissions are. The renewable energy, the private sector's come to the fore and done amazing things, solar concentrators, wind power, you know, and put in a lot of resources there because we've had coal and the coal stations, we haven't been able to maintain them too well. And then, sadly, we've just installed two new coal-fired power plants this decade, which is not really the way to go. But so that's very positive. And, you know, when Trump made the exit from Paris, withdrew America from the accord, South Africa, at least, I was pleased to see, they called it an abdication of America's global responsibility. You know, and I think that's, you know, one has to... Sometimes frank talk is necessary.
So the South African government is aware of the issues and regarding environment.
They are, but it doesn't take the center stage as perhaps it should.
Would you say it's more the people and the industry that is taking it on board, or more the government?
I think the government to some extent, but certainly industry and, you know, solar power people, you know, putting in these units to save power. It, you know, the government at one stage gave an incentive to, you know, for people, households to invest in solar water heaters and things like that. So it's happening. And the issue there is the national grid, the private sector want to supply to the national grid, but they have to upgrade the national grid, and that is an issue for New Zealand as well.
Actually, I think that's quite an important message, that you don't have to wait until the government does something.
Yes.
If the government does a part and the private sector and everybody does a part, then we can also gain something.
Yes, definitely.
For those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out our website or www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffin talk. Or we also have a picture usually and a little description of our interviews on Facebook. My visitor today is Steve Lincoln. Steve is the convener of the Environmental and Sustainability Committee of the Catholic Diocese of Auckland. Steve, I understand that during this time already that you've been on that committee, you wrote a paper with the title "The 10 Green Commitments for a More Sustainable World." Can you tell us more about this document?
Yes, our parish ran the God's Earth program, and I went through that program, and it dealt a lot with what is actually happening, you know, deforestation in the Amazon, whatever. And
who wrote that document, just for those who don't know?
It was the Environmental and Sustainability Committee of Catholic Diocese Auckland.
Yeah.
And it was a very good program, and it has been run on at numerous parishes in Auckland. And it just gave the status quo is what is happening. But after that, I thought, we have to do something. What can we do? And that's why I wrote the 10 Green Commitments, to try and get a roadmap, a sort of key focus areas of what we can do, because it's a challenge and we have to solve it. We can't back down from it. And it was, you know, I sought to have something that's comprehensive. And, you know, why commitments? I just... rather than commandments, you know, I take from Conversations with God, Donald Walsh. He explained in this book, his interpretation was that God gave them commitments, not commandments, for God does not order what God has created. God merely tells God's children, this is how you will know that you're coming home. And if I just take, you know, commitment number 6, you know that you have found God when you observe that you will not murder, that is, willfully kill without cause. Your new reverence for life will cause you to honor all life forms, including plants, trees, and animals, and to impact them only when it is for the highest good. So, yeah, you know, we've got to, the first thing we have to do is accept that we're on the wrong path. When it comes to environmental matters, if we just look around, our world is in meltdown. We have high concentrations of carbon emissions. We have the Tasman Glacier, or Fox Glacier in New Zealand, you know, melting at a rate of 500 meters to 800 meters a year, and that's caused a lake that wasn't there in 1973. The 16 hottest days on Earth have been this century. And only one, 1998, it was a tie with one. You know, we've seen what's in the Great Barrier Reef very recently. Last 2 years, a lot of bleaching has happened there. June this year, we've seen, you know, a big break-off of ice in the Antarctic. Since 1995, flooding, the incidence of flooding has gone up 100%, and we've seen it around us. But that's, so let's start with the green commitments. The first three about nature, because that's important. Got to recognize, you know, how the beauty of nature. The first one would be to celebrate nature. Be inspired by her beauty, the wonder of the artwork on a butterfly and the symmetry of a snowflake, the sense of aura of a tree. So, yeah, we just, you know, we just have to value nature. The second one, if I can move on, is just, you know, let's educate our youth to love the earth. to love the soil, to walk barefoot on the soil, to know what the impact of our footprint is on the earth, and to try and get away from, you know, our cities have separated us from nature, and technology is intoxicating, and we just have to get a better balance there. And I think we'll all agree with that one. Children the same, you have the same problem.
But that's also, I think it's also important for schools and for kindergartens to have some green places, trees and some meadows or lawns, something where the children can observe it. Or like in the school next to the Mercy Spirituality Center, they have a little garden group and they plant things. Yes. And that's just a primary school, but they are learning what it means to care for a little plant.
It all starts with that, and absolutely in New Zealand, I think he's doing a great job on that front. And, you know, one reads it in the local newspapers, one sees projects that are happening, and that's very gratifying to see that happening, and we must support it. Maybe it's our generation, we should be going back to school there. The third one is to protect nature. Its natural habitats under threat from development, many animals and fish face extinction. We should hunt and fish responsibly and, you know, stop unnecessary deforestation. In New Zealand, we've lost 67% of our forests and 90% of our wetlands.
And what time period?
I think that's since the beginning, you know, that's over the years since settlement began. I mean, there wasn't too far back in New Zealand. So, and that would have an impact on the climate in any case.
I think in some cultures also using to get stable ground out of wetlands is an achievement.
Yes. Well, funny enough, I've just been to a talk, a lady, and I forget her name, unfortunately. She gave a very good talk on the status of fishing in New Zealand. And one of the things she confirmed was, you know, the snapper population in the Bay of Plenty is 6% of its unfished stock size. Hauraki Gulf, 18%. The quota system has stabilized things at that level. But, you know, we would think we should rebuild them up to at least a 40% level of the unfished. And one of the things that she said is that she asked, it was at Forest and Bird, and her request was that Forest and Bird do all that they can to restore the wetlands. Because, you know, if you restore the wetlands, then you've got a filtering system. You don't have sediment going into the sea and then interrupting, you know, the life, the sea life, basically, yeah. Mm. So that was, protect nature. When it comes to responsible fishing, we always point fingers at commercial fishing, and yes, they have to clean up their act for sure, but also look at the recreational fishing. She showed a graph which showed that they also take a high percent, you know, it was, you know, looking at the graph, about 80% of what the commercial fishing was taking out. And so we also have to, you know, maybe the quota system just has to, unfortunately, get a little, you know, stricter. And we've got to look after the resource, you know, manage the resource there. Yeah, so that's three to do with nature. Then if I could move on, Beate, you know, let's buy green. It's products that are certified to provide some protection for nature. Let's try and consume less meat, and that's because of a lot of meat or cattle take up a lot of 18% of arable land in the world and release a lot of emissions, and we know that in New Zealand. But buy local products if you can. That's not always possible. I know sometimes they're more expensive, although I always think they're at least you're saving on foreign exchange.
And sometimes you don't know if they are local or not.
Yes, oh, no,
so
you wouldn't know.
That's why we'll have to make sure that the industry also has to put it down so that we can choose.
Yes, you know, we should have an international, not only in New Zealand, an international rating system for goods based on the environmental footprint. Then it would make consumers be able to make a better choice.
It's something like fair trade or like a fair rug.
Something along, you know, you've got a lot of washing machines and they grade them on how much water they use. Now, something similar like that. Difficult to do, but not impossible. And then people will know, you know, and it'll make people think. So, yes, so that was buy green. Then I just say, you know, let's just live simply. Be more content with less. Difficult as it is to imagine. There is enough for everyone's need, but not, if I may say it like this, not for everyone's greed. To be is more important than to have, and that was Bishop Ramazzini.
Yes,
his message, very, you know, very astute and very simple. Being rather than having. Let's not be bullied into unnecessary consumption by unscrupulous advertising. Shop less, live more. In my world, I'd like to work 4 days a week and then provide more jobs for others, you know, maybe share the load, possibly. I know that, so more employment opportunities. Okay, so that's live simply. Following from that, on the business side, you know, let's conduct business ethically. Fair deal, fair profits, fair wages, fair pay, fair tax. And the thing is, economic growth is only possible if it's environmentally sustainable. And that's what we have to, that's something we've got to bring into the equation. What is the environmental footprint? Because our economic system is not too healthy. It is creating very high concentration of wealth, so fewer individuals, a lot of wealth in fewer hands, and it's degrading of the environment, and then it's creating poverty in that there are not enough jobs for people. We are obsessed with automation. I'm a mechanical engineer, but I like to get a balance between, you know, using people, you know, semi-automation, where you use people to use machines, but rather than making the whole thing completely automated.
And then you get very much dependent also on the machine and on electricity and everything.
Yes. Look, in some cases it might not be possible, but we are driven to, we've got so much ingenuity when it comes to machines, but we've got a bigger and bigger population. The population now, we're talking about it, it went up 1 billion in 13 years to 7.1 billion. What are we going to do with all these people? You know, that's just something that we have to think of. So, yes, we need just to reappraise the way we do business, a fairer deal, and like I said, less concentration. And just let's go back to Bishop Ramazzini. He was talking about Guatemala. 2% of the population have 84% of the land, which they use for farming, export goods, and then resulting in that they have to import milk,
mm-hmm.
which, and they don't have enough jobs. You know, that's Guatemala, but it's a case that happens in, we can see it in shapes in New Zealand to not as that okay, obvious
yeah.
to some extent, yeah. If I can
yeah.
go
yeah,
on.
The next one, is six is...
Yeah, that was conduct
so
business
ethically. So you have
ethically.
Three about nature, and then you have...
three, buy green, live simply, conduct business ethically.
Yeah.
If we can move on there, yeah. some things that you will know that, you know, a lot of this is, I suppose, common knowledge, but I'm just trying to tie it together, you know.
Yeah.
Use energy with consideration. Switch off the lights. In New Zealand, let's pay private producers a fair rate for if they're supplying to the grid, because they're taking pressure off the grid. We've got a bigger, the population is growing, so we'll need more power. And that might, by doing that, we might not need to build power stations or more wind generation or
And there's a lot of sun in New Zealand in the summer, so we could use it for the solar, for more solar panels.
We could do that. And you see, the, and that, that is quite a costly, there's no incentive. So, you know, that does cost somebody it's quite an investment. I think you've got a payback of 10 years or something like that. But I went to the talk the other day, and somebody was saying, well, you know, it costs a lot, but it's the right thing to do. Maybe we must just do it. And that's something I've got to look at myself, at how I'm living. And okay, in South Africa, I had a solar heater, and I should do something here.
In Germany, they had incentives from the government in the beginning, and it really created that awareness. And most people have some solar panel, and the sun is not so sunny in Germany than here. There are some sunny days, but it's enough usually for the people to heat their water at least. And if I know about one church that was not protected by the monument scheme, and so they put solar panels on the whole roof, and it's feeding energy to the city.
And it all helps.
Yes.
We've all got a role to play in this. We can't just leave it to the government.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a gift from God, and we give it to the people.
No, absolutely. That's why, you know, despite the enormity, I think, of the challenge, I'm still, one has to remain positive and do what one can with what one's got at the time.
Yeah.
And
so let's go quickly through the other four commandments.
Yeah,
commitments.
Commitments. Use energy, as I said, with consideration. We've covered that one there. Travel wisely. You know, walk, cycle, or take the bus. Think of buying a smaller car. Electric car is very very expensive, but you know, cars have got more fuel efficient, what we've done is made them bigger, maybe more comfortable. And that, again, has an impact. There are a billion cars in the world. My car is an 1800, and, to do 1,000 kilometers, it produces 160 kilograms of carbon dioxide, 160 kilograms, twice my body mass. So that's, we've got to think about those things. And, you know, when we're advertising for cars, a lot of countries, they tax cars on the emissions, either up front or as ongoing usage. And in New Zealand, here's an advert, I'll just show you here, there's nothing about carbon emissions of this particular vehicle. And that is...
It's just the money.
So are we taking, climate change seriously in New Zealand? You know, if I look at that, we're not doing as much as we could be.
Yeah.
Make flying an exception rather than the rule. And, you know, I love rugby. New Zealanders love rugby. But, you know, if I look at the Super 18 competition, you know, look at all the... I always just think of all this traveling. And, you know, it's not... Let's fly. We can't just stop our cars. And public transport, of course, we've got to invest in. And it's not so easy because people want flexibility. But let's just be sensible. That's, mm-hmm. Okay, moving on.
Watch the waste is the next one. And I thought of all the repairs that you can do, except you don't have to throw something out immediately if it doesn't work. There might be somebody who can help you repairing it.
Yes, you see, that's where, again, our business model has been geared up to now just replace things, just throw it away. We just got to move back on that culture because we lose jobs because we don't have the technicians to repair the goods, and it's hugely wasteful. That goes into landfill, and that's an opportunity in New Zealand, industrial waste. We're doing well on the domestic fronts. Councils are doing well. They're starting to generate methane in New Zealand, and so actually emissions there have gone down. But so there's an opportunity for business to, clean up the act, because that's one thing. In our industrial systems, we don't deal well with waste. It's okay to throw it away.
Then the number 9?
Yes. Yeah, I've actually got it as 10 Tread Gently on the Earth. That was an early edition. I actually, sorry, we're a little bit out of sync there. That's all good. Just tread gently on the earth, you know, look at water. Let's take care of water. In New Zealand, obviously, with dairy, people will be aware that, you know, cows put a lot of urine into the soil, and that's not good for the water. That increases the nitrogen. Huge problem in Canterbury. And, yes, far outweighing fertilizers, that's already a problem with nitrogen into the water, but, you know, urine from cattle from dairy is huge. Farmers are now starting to clean up. There's progress being made there. But we've just put we've got too much dairy. We just cannot supply the whole of the world with dairy, no matter what we think. You know, we are still a small country, and everything within balance.
So maybe we have to go back to some sheep.
I'll support that one. And so tread gently on the earth is also look at our footprint of our buildings. You know, these days, we put up huge buildings, and when we go in, developers now, they just take out all the natural vegetation. I know we need a lot of housing and that is a problem, and, you know, what do we do about it? That's not an easy one. But just to show you, you know, photographs of, you know, something that's happening in Flatbush, and all around when we break, we getting rid of the vegetation around existing houses. So all the factors that made Auckland beautiful, we're forgetting about in this rush to just develop in houses. So,
and then the other parts of New Zealand where the towns are dying.
Yes. And, you know, the same thing for farming. Look at this photograph. It's a beautiful photograph of Canterbury farms.
Yeah. You'll have to take some pictures for the Facebook so people can see it also.
Why I show you this photograph is it's just wall-to-wall farming. Nature just doesn't have a toehold. Everything right up to the bank of the river is taken with farming. And, you know, that can't be sensible. You know, footprint, I'd say, you know, 75% natural. You know, 25% natural. Leave some space. So these are things that we can do.
And then support green endeavors and associations as the last commitment.
Yes.
And I think that we'll talk about a little bit about these topics in depth in a separate interview. That would be great. If you have time, we can do another interview. And there are so many issues that we can talk about, because I think to create awareness, that's how it starts, as you said.
Absolutely.
The awareness for the love of for the future, for the nature, and to care for the earth.
Yes. You know, there are a lot of positives out there. You know, Germany has done extremely well. They've reduced their emissions 20% since Kyoto. Mm. Ireland has reduced taxes by, you know, taxing emissions. In Ireland, they tax landfill. Every household is taxed for what they do. And they've been able to reduce their emissions 15% since 2008. Mm. So, you know, we can learn, we can do better than we're doing, yes. I think, because our emissions have actually gone up 24% in New Zealand since Kyoto. And we've offset them with forests, but the forests are being harvested, so we're losing that offset advantage. Now we're trying to buy credits. So,
thank you very much, Steve, for coming to the studio. And I think we do have to continue. Just quickly, what is coming up in our Mercer Spirituality Center? On the weekend of the 9th and 10th of September, we will have our second Ignatian Spirituality Seminar with Kevin Gallagher and Letitia Putenbarat. This seminar is an occasion to explore, experience, and deepen for yourself the wisdom of St. Ignatius. And on Thursday, the 14th of September, from 7 to 9 p.m., we'll have Sister Alice Sinnott, and she will repeat her lecture on wisdom, a female figure in the Bible. This session in July had very good feedback, and it is now repeated for those who are not able to come during the day. And on Saturday, the 23rd of September, from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., Joy Cowley is going to facilitate a retreat day with the title, From Head to Heart. And I wish you all a good Friday and a blessed week ahead. And thank you, Steve, for coming to the studio.
Most welcome. Thank you.